Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I want to thank you for joining us again today. Well, I'm flying solo today. I hurt my back and couldn't make it into the studio, so the rest of the crew won't be joining me, but I have a good show for you today, and it's about the fishing bill that's being debated in Raleigh. It's called, short title is Let Them Spawn. And the bill is, well, I'll read you the heading. A bill to be entitled An Act to Require a Minimum Size Limit for Certain Species of Marine Fish to Ensure that 75% of the juvenile fish of the species will have an opportunity to reach maturity and spawn at least once. Now, the sponsors of the bill presented as a bill to protect our marine fisheries resource. But there's a lot of debate on whether the science is there to back up the proposed measures. We at CCTA, being proponents of less government, less regulation, of course, we're interested in making sure that all the facts are being looked at before any legislation is put into place. We're not quite sure that that's happening here. So I'm going to play you the audio from the legislative session on Wednesday, and let you hear the debate going on. For time purposes, I've had to edit and cut out a lot of dead space and things, and I'm only going to present to you the opposition to the bill, because the bill speaks for itself, and the opposition that I present is going to give you another set of facts. So here we go.
House Bill 483, the clerk will read.
Representatives Yarborough, Sane, Ray, and Brian Turner, House Bill 483, a bill to maintain an act to require a minimum size limit for every commercially and recreationally important species of marine fish to ensure that 75% of the juvenile fish of each species will have opportunity to reach maturity and spawn at least once. June Assembly, North Carolina.
Gentleman from person, Representative Yarborough, you're recognized to debate the bill.
The wild fish that are part of North Carolina's environment belong to and are the responsibility of all North Carolinians. In the 90s, marine fishes were in trouble across the entire South. I moved to North Carolina in 1990 from the Space Coast to Florida. Florida was grappling with declining fish populations. Fisheries reform was taking place all over the South, and North Carolina did it also. Unfortunately, North Carolina's reform has not worked. North Carolina seems to be the only southern state that has done this badly. It's been almost impossible to do anything about it since then. And I think you can see why. You've heard confusing scientific claims that seem to be in direct conflict. You've heard moving stories about the good, hard-working people that are in danger of losing their lives, struggling to make a living with these declining fish populations. It's a very difficult issue, and it has proven to be too much for a volunteer board of commissioners, as well as a department of bureaucrats that just want to keep their jobs and work through this minefield. There are a lot of ways to measure the decline in the fish populations. We've had scientific studies, we've had economic studies, we've had personal stories. I think the simplest measurement is to look at the commercial landings. There's nothing really scientific about it. It's what a commercial fisherman catch every year. They go out, they catch everything they can, they sell it to the fish market, it's recorded, and it's recorded for all the states in the same way. And I've shared with you some data from NOAA that shows what the catches are in the different states. 20 years ago, when we reformed fisheries, North Carolina caught more seafood than any other southern state. Since then, we have steadily gone down below Texas and Florida, almost down to North Carolina and Georgia. In the meantime, those states have maintained their stable fisheries and continue to catch fish. The decline is worse than some of our favorite fish. When I moved here, gray trout, scientifically called weak fish, was one of the most popular fish. Today, they're all but wiped out. The commercial harvest of weak fish is 2.4% of what it once was. Literally 98% of the weak fish are no longer swimming around in our waters and spawning. The spot was an incredibly popular fish. Anyone could catch them from a shore or a pier. Spot runs were an event. They're now 16% of what they once were, swimming in the water. Croakers are now 10% of what they once were. Scientific reports indicate that too many of these fish are being harvested as juveniles, and there's not enough reproduction going on. When the Wildlife Resources Commission has a population that is overfished, they set the size limit where the fish are old enough to reproduce. That's what Let 'Em Spawn does. It gives the Marine Fisheries Department a goal of setting size limits that would allow 75% of the fish a chance to spawn at least once. It's a simple idea. It's not going to solve everything, but it's a start. And there are exceptions. Some fish don't meet that criteria. Red drum live for 35 to 50 years. They don't even spawn until they're 5 years old, in which case we use a slot limit to allow the fishermen to keep the ones that are not very immature and yet protect the fully mature spawning class. And this has worked. Red drum is one of the species that is not on this list because it is one of the species that is not in trouble. Speckled trout or spotted sea trout is another fish that's not on this list because they're not in trouble. They have a 15-inch size limit, which means that they get to spawn twice before they're harvested. Size limits do work. There's criticism that the female fish are bigger and would make up more of the harvest. And this is exactly what's happening with flounder. The size limit is so small that only the females are taken before they spawn, but it's too big to take the males. A slot limit would be more appropriate for the flounder. And again, this is what the bill asked for, is to use the size limits to define and create a spawning class of fish. They say this will hurt the North Carolina commercial fishermen. All you have to do is look at what they're catching and how the catch is declining. Fishermen are working harder every year, catching less, and there are fewer and fewer fishermen every year. Some say that's why the catch is going down. I say the catch is going down is why there are fewer fishermen. There was a story last year in Texas about the slowdown in immigrants. The big gist of the story was that they don't have enough immigrants to run the commercial fishing fleet in Texas. This is not happening in the other states. When you go to a restaurant in New Orleans and eat a trout or a flounder, it was not caught in a gill net and undersized. It was caught by either gigged or a rod and reel. The commercial fishermen in the other states are doing fine. Every year we're told that we need more science. The only science we've really seen in the fisheries area is political science.
Okay, that was Representative Yarbrough, one of the primary sponsors of the bill, speaking in favor of the bill. And we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll come back and we'll give you some of the opposing views.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, as I promised before the break, we're now going to present you some opposing views to this fish bill, House Bill 483, the Let 'em Spawn Bill, and we're going to start with Representative Larry Pittman.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Caparis, Representative Pittman, rise.
Speak on the bill, and for how much time am I allowed?
The gentleman is recognized to speak on the bill. You have 15 minutes.
I don't think it'll take that long, but I do want to share something. You know, the people supporting this kind of legislation, I'm sorry, speak out of both sides of their mouths, because they're talking about how there's no fish. And yet, I want to read something to you. This is from one of the little magazines you get at the beach that talks about the sport fishing that's going on and how great they're catching. It has full of pictures of great big fish that so-called recreational sports fishermen are catching. And I just want to read you part of this little article about the Pamlico and Noose area. Gary of, and this is from May 9th of this year, by the way. Gary of Speck Fever Guide Service reports that speckled trout are being hooked in amazing numbers in the creeks of the lower Noose. Fishing smaller storm soft plastic under a popping cork rig has been the most productive method. The creeks have been filled with smaller bait this spring, and anglers have been successful in fishing smaller 3 to 4 inch soft plastics to match the hatch. A few larger speckled trout to 20 inches are starting to hit Rapala skitter pop topwater plugs in the mornings, as well as on days with lighter winds. Good-sized striped bass to 20 inches are being caught around docks and shoreline structure while fishing soft plastics. Puppy drum are chewing on baits fished on the bottom, and anglers anticipate seeing their numbers go up as more fish push in from the ocean, mixing with the fish leaving the creeks. A few small bluefish are biting baits in the creeks around Oriental. James of Noose River Adventures reports that speckled trout have been biting well in creeks around Oriental and off the Bay River. A good majority of the fish are just short, 13 inches, but larger fish are mixed in. The sheer quantity of fish this year has made it relatively easy for anglers to catch their limits. The striped bass bite has been slow, but fishing baits near structure raises the chance of success in landing a few good-sized fish. Jennings of North State Guide Service reports that anglers fishing the Roanoke River are enjoying the triple-digit catches of striped bass. The keeper season closing has lightened up the boat traffic, though the fish have stuck around. Casting Z-Man and DOA soft plastics into current breaks are producing a majority of the stripers. Speckled trout fishing is good in the creeks of the Lower Neuse River. Popping corks with soft plastics have been the favorite rig of anglers in the area. Puppy drum and smaller flounder are being caught around creek mouths and grassy points with soft plastics fished along the bottom. Stephen of Neuse River Bait and Tackle reports that the speckled trout bite is great with few larger fish to 29 inches mixed in with the huge numbers of spikes in the area. Soft plastic swim baits fished under a popping cork have been the best rig for numbers, but live mud minnows and mirror lure MR-17's electric chicken color have produced some of the bigger trout. Flounder are being caught with quarter-ounce jig heads around grass banks and points. Keeping baits connected with the bottom has been helpful with hookup numbers. Striped bass are being found in creeks off the main river around shoreline structure and docks. Soft plastics have worked best, but early morning anglers are landing a few while casting topwater plugs. Richie of Eastside Bait and Tackle, and I'm getting to the good stuff, reports that anglers are catching good numbers of speckled trout in the creeks off the lower Pamlico River. Popping cork rigs have been the unanimous favorite for a majority of fish, but anglers are beginning to find more success with live mud minnows. Topwater plugs are catching a few fish too, but the weather hasn't been fully cooperative for that style of fishing. Guess what? Sometimes the weather makes a difference in how many fish you can catch. Anglers should look for overcast days with lower wind speeds to have more action while fishing on top. Flounder being caught along grass banks on the lower Pamlico with soft plastics. This first wave of fish has been smaller, but anglers anticipate seeing the larger females push in from the ocean over the next few weeks. Striped bass are hitting topwater plugs around shoreline structure upriver, but with all the focus being downriver and on the Roanoke, the reports have been scarce. Mitchell of Fish IBX reports that the Roanoke River is still producing great numbers of striped bass. Anglers have agreed this has been a better year than those in recent memory, with reports of triple-digit days still being common, even with keeper season over. A variety of baits have worked in getting bites, from Yeehaw Paltail swim baits and rattle traps to live thread fin shad and topwater plugs. These fish haven't made much movement from the Weldon area, and the bites should continue to be strong for a few more weeks. That's just one example, Madam Speaker, of articles in these magazines that I get all the time when I go down to the beach that tell about how great the sport fishing is in eastern North Carolina. They show you the pictures, they tell you the stories of catching all these fish, and as you heard me read some of these fish, it's more than they've seen in several years. So the idea that there's no fish out there is just not true. As far as commercial landings being fewer, when you go from 30,000 commercial fishermen down to 3,000, of course you're going to have lower landing levels. I mean, you're not going to catch as many fish with that many fewer fishermen being out there. That's just how that works. To my understanding and my feeling and my own experience, I believe all this bill is about is for the Carolina Coastal Conservation Association, CCA, the elites, to keep all the fish to themselves. That's what this is about. And the reduction in numbers of fishermen, commercial fishermen, it's not because there are fewer fish. It's because they've been regulated to death. And many of them just couldn't continue under the strict regulations that have been put on them. So this is just about killing off the commercial fishing industry some more, and we need to reject this bill. Thank you.
Once again, that was Representative Larry Pittman. Well, we're going to take a break right now and hear from our sponsors. We'll come back and pick up this presentation.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we're going to continue this debate on the fishing bill, House Bill 483. We're now going to hear from Representative Harrison from Guilford.
For purposes, the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise.
To debate the bill.
You have the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, if I'm opposed to the bill on process and substance. And the process, this bill did not make crossover. And I think that point can't be lost on us. And the referral to House Environment, which would have been an appropriate committee to hear this bill, was struck. But I do appreciate the chair of the Rules Committee indulging us, those of us who had some comments on this bill, to have the opportunity to speak. So I appreciate that. The substance of this bill, I think, is bad policy that's going to have unintended consequences. And I'm sorry I wasn't here on Monday night to memorialize Arlie Culp. I overlapped, I think, a term or two with him. But one thing I really remember about him is every time one of these fish bills came up, he would always talk about how this legislative body had enacted the Fisheries Reform Act, and we had no business getting into these fish issues, and we ought to let the Fisheries Reform Act do its work. And as someone who was an alumni of that process, I just by way of background, for those of you who don't know, I used to sit on the Coastal Resources Commission. I also was on the Marine Fisheries Commission Habitat Committee, so I dealt with a lot of these issues for several years before I moved back home. And I participated in that stakeholder process, and it was really important because it allowed all the varied interests to have input on what we were going to do on fish policy. So from my perspective, I think this proposal is not based on scientific need. It undermines the Fisheries Reform Act and the General Assembly's intent in enacting the Fisheries Reform Act. That process that was created, it's the science comes from the Division of Marine Fisheries, stakeholder committees of advisors, includes all the experts in this area and recreational and commercial fishermen, environmentalists, university professors, all participate in a very deliberative process in adopting fishery management plans for each of the important fisheries to North Carolina. And we have a current Division of Marine Fisheries head, whom we heard from yesterday in Rules, who is committed to this process and committed to making tough decisions and committed to scientific reform. And I think we need to defer to that. The problem that I have with this bill is that, and I understand from conversations with a number of fisheries biologists, I readily admit that I'm not one, that they all agree, that objective fisheries biologists agree that this conflicts with science-based management. These species need to have species-specific management techniques. There are different life cycles, different approaches to dealing with the different species. And some size limits might make sense, but some it makes no sense. And it's sustainable without a size limit. A factor that it doesn't come to play here that definitely is affecting fish populations is climate change and warming waters, and fish are migrating. We also have impacts on water quality. We've had explosive growth in the coast over the past 20 years, and that is absolutely impacting habitat and water quality and fish health. We know from the way the bill's written that there's going to be increased mortality from fish that don't meet the size limits, and I do not know if that's is going to be a problem, the increasing discards, increased morbidity. It's going to lead to catches that are going to be dominated by a particular sex because female fish grow differently from male fish. We know that specifically with the southern flounder, female fish grow larger. I think the problem, it also removes flexibility with progressive fishery management tools. It would include seasons, timing, gear limits, quotas. And it also actually will increase some unnecessary regulations for those of you who do not like regulations. It's not clear to me where the enforcement's going to come from. If you've got a size limit and you've got someone out cast netting, catching juvenile fish and using it as bait fish, are we going to all of a sudden not going to be able to allow that to happen? Is the Division of Marine Fisheries Patrol going to have to board all recreational fishermen and men's boats and look in their coolers and see if they have undersized fish? I keep hearing that no other states allow this, and I'm especially on the gill netting. I'm looking at a chart that shows that New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Virginia, South Carolina, and Georgia all allow gill netting. And as far as trawling, South Carolina allows it, and Virginia is considering adding it. I think that what we fail to take into account here is the cyclical nature of fish stocks, and it's just unpredictable. As far as the overfishing affecting fish stocks, I'm looking at the 2016 Division of Marine Fisheries Assessment. Well, first I've read a report that said North Carolina was second only to Florida in the U.S. on coastal fishing and number of fish caught in 2014 and 2015. In the 2016 Division of Marine Fisheries report, the number of fish and shellfish population classified as viable has been trending upward since 2011. That same 2016 Division of Marine Fisheries Assessment showed that a total of 75% of the species or species groups in North Carolina whose population status can be estimated are not overfished. That same report said a total of 99% of the species or species complexes in North Carolina whose population status can be estimated are not experiencing overfishing. By contrast, for the past 10 years, there's been, as I understand it, a ban on commercial and recreational fishing of river herring, striped bass in the Cape Fear and sturgeon, yet that population has not recovered. So there have got to be other factors besides fishing that are impacting these fish populations. I just would like to submit to you all in this chamber that the fisheries biologists at the Division of Marine Fisheries ought to be allowed to do their job. And they do it upon consultation with recreational fishermen, commercial fishermen, university scientists, environmentalists, all the stakeholders who are there and work on these species. This is a cookie-cutter approach that makes no sense, and I encourage you to vote no. Thank you.
Okay, once again, we're going to take a break to hear from our sponsors. Please visit them and tell them you heard about them on CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. this Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina. Pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, we've been listening to some opposing views on this House Bill 483, and we're going to continue to do that. We're going to hear from Representative Haney now.
For our purpose, the gentleman from Currituck, Representative Haney, rise.
Speak to the bill.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You've heard from scientists on both sides of this issue. Thank you, Representative Harrison, for that very elicit and very well thought out presentation showing real science. I urge you not to allow special interests to regulate our resources and keep hardworking taxpaying citizens from working. They did not ask for subsidies or special treatment, just the right to make a living for their families. Let the Division of Marine Fisheries do their job. In 1997, the Division of Marine Fisheries was formed. For 20 years, they had a director that did not implement the plan. That director was released. We have a new director. He is committed to implementing this plan. There is a plan in place. They say that our resource has been overfished. Then don't shut it down. Find a way to enforce the current rules and implement the current rules. Don't punish everyone. This bill is just another attempt to overregulate the fishing industry. I strongly urge you to vote against this bill and let them fish. Now, I know that some of you have been influenced for a yes vote today. I know that you have a friend of a brother whose cousin has a friend who knows a guy that has a boat that you went out on 5 years ago and caught fish. What I need you to keep in mind, and please keep this in mind, this bill will keep the guy who catches the bait that you caught that fish with from working. This bill eliminates bait fish. This will decimate fishing piers, bait shops, anyone that sells bait. The solution yesterday from a scientist was, there are plastic substitutions out there. That was his answer to that. This bill will literally destroy hardworking, salt-of-the-earth North Carolinians, the ability to put food on their table. This bill has far-reaching negative consequences. We here in the legislature have been cutting and cutting the commercial fishermen for years. Eventually, the industry will die out, and that will be on our heads. Everyone here in this General Assembly will be on our heads. We are killing our heritage by voting for this bill. Make no mistake, this bill is intended to stop the commercial fishermen. That's what this bill is intended to do. We as a body, for the last 20 years, have failed to do our job and protect our most valuable resource, our citizens. Now, we as a body are being asked to vote for something that protects the resource, the fish. That's what proponents of this bill say, that we're protecting the resource. Really? Are we really doing that? Seems a little backwards to me. Watermen are a proud and vital resource. I urge you to vote your conscience and vote red. Thank you.
Okay, let's squeeze one more break in here, and then we'll come back here and hear some more of the debate on this topic on House Bill 483, the Let 'em Spawn Bill.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years.
Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Well, now we're going to hear from Representative Kidwell from Beaufort, and he's right here on the coast. Let's listen to what his remarks are.
What purpose does the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidwell, arise?
To debate the bill.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, let me preface my written notes by indicating that I am a sport fisherman. I actually did tournament fishing for quite a number of years. Go fishing as often as I can, much to my wife's consternment, but that's just the way it is. I want to point out some facts that I can provide for you in this case. I've prepared literally hundreds of tax returns for fishermen in Beaufort and Hyde County. I know these people personally. I've sat down and had long discussions with them on the things that they have to deal with, the regulations that they deal with as fishermen. The commonality I find, I've never had a single fisherman to tell me, I'm quitting fishing because I can't catch fish. They quit because they're overregulated. That's their words, not mine. They've all told me the exact same thing. There's not a lack of fish. There's an abundance of regulations running our fishermen out of business in North Carolina. Beaufort County had four fish and crab processing businesses that employed hundreds of people. We had a trucking company that every day, all day, hauled seafood from Beaufort County, from those four plants, up to Virginia and Maryland to be sold at market up there. All of those businesses are gone. Not a single one of them are left in Beaufort County. Not for lack of fish, people. For too much regulation from this very body. We have got to stop that. Please note that the people who oppose this bill, by and large, are from the coastal counties. We represent the coastal people who are dealing with these fish. And I assure you, the money you're looking at is huge if we put these commercial fishermen out of business. In the last 20 years, we have lost hundreds of jobs, not just fishermen, people. We're not just talking about the 6, 8, 10 guys that go out on the boat or the individual that goes out and does it himself. We're talking about the processing houses. We're talking about boat builders that we had in eastern North Carolina that are no longer there. because there's no more fishing business. We're talking about people who repair the boats that are no longer implied. We're talking about the net makers and the people who repair the nets, the ones who sell the bait. All of those businesses are gone out of eastern North Carolina. I'll give you a couple examples. Last July, I went on a three-hour fishing trip. I had to squeeze that in between running around getting elected. Had three people on my boat. We put 66 rock in the boat in 3 hours. 66. You can't do that if there's a shortage of fish. This is personal experience. By the way, if you want to come down to Beaufort County, my boat's name is Keith's Office. This way, if you come and spend the day on the boat with me and somebody calls, I ask what you're doing, you can say, well, I'm in Keith's office. We're fishing for some votes. The other thing I want to point out is we have something in eastern North Carolina we call an Interbanks Grand Slam. I don't know how many people are familiar with that. That's when you catch a flounder, a trout, a stripe, and a drum all in the same day. I'll take you down there and have you do that all day long. Most fun you'll ever have. And I honestly have to say, there's virtually never a shortage unless there's a good reason for it. Bad storms just come through, something along those lines. There are some bad years and good years, bad days and good days. That's the way it works. As the gentle lady on the other side of the aisle said, fish are cyclical. They're also changing their habits due to things that are beyond our control. They're all in God's control. Never forget that Peter cast his net out of the wrong side of the boat. When he did it the right way, he hauled up all the fish he could ask for. Last year on the 4th of July festival in Beaufort County, I went out with literally dozens of boats right there at the waterfront in front of Washington, North Carolina. Picked up my rod on the far side of the river, threw it out. In less than 5 minutes, I put two stripers in the boat with dozens of boats surrounding me. You could not do that if there was a shortage of fish in that water. The fish would have been shrieking under every cover they could find. But there's such an abundance of them that there, at times, it's not always that way, but at times, there's no problem to catch them if you know where to find them. I've always told people, if you can't catch fish, don't blame the commercial fish. I mean, you might want to look in the mirror. You might not know how to fish that well. That could be the problem. Fishing does change. People, that's why we call it fishing and not catching. That's why you have the name. It's a skill set. You might have to develop better than what you've had in the past. Cold weather can affect it. Hot weather can affect it. Tides can affect it. Wind can affect it. A whole lot of things can affect it. To pass this bill today would kill an entire industry in eastern North Carolina called crabbing. If 483 passes, bait for crab pots will be very difficult or nearly impossible to obtain. Much of the bait currently menhaden, which are not overfished and considered healthy, but due to the minimum sizes forced by this bill, would be unavailable. Over the past 4 years, the economic impact of the blue crab fishery business averaged $25 million per year in North Carolina. That's $25 million paid to eastern North Carolina fishermen that they put back into the economic engine, not including the multipliers, packing, shipping, and all the other things that go with it. Fellow representatives, this bill is not a fish saver. It is a job killer. Do you want to be responsible for participating in eliminating yet more jobs for the entire area, and most particularly eastern North Carolina, that's still suffering from the effects of the past bad economy? The maker of this bill will tell you that I'm overreacting. Well, I'll tell you that they're overreacting. I'm a sport fisherman, and I'll tell you what. You want to catch fish? Make an appointment with me to spend a day in my office. I'll put you on some fish in eastern North Carolina. Representatives, don't swallow this stinky bait. Vote no on 483.
Now we'll hear from Representative Warren from Rowan.
What purpose does General Rowan, Representative Warren, rise?
To speak to the bill.
You have the floor to speak to the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Representative Richardson said that people expect us to do the right thing. He said people trust us to do the right thing. I'm not so sure trust is the right word, but I do know they expect us to do the right thing. And I'm not sure that this bill really represents the right thing to do. The charts that we have on our desk, I don't think tell the whole story. And I don't know what the whole story is, but I can tell you from my many years in sales that you give me a set of numbers and you tell me what you want them to say, and I will make it work. I think when you look at this, the questions I have based on that experience is, what isn't being told to me? What are we not looking at here? As I look at it, I see the drops in landing and the significant drop starting in 2007 also coincide with something that has nothing necessarily directly to do with fishing. That's the beginning of the Great Recession, the biggest recession we've had since the 20s. It's also, when you look from 2007 on, we had hurricanes Ike, Fran, Floyd, Irene. We've had increased regulation on that industry. So we've also had a severe drop in the number of commercial fishermen there. And I'd like to know, is there any scientific evidence of any migratory patterns based on warming oceans or anything else that are taking the fish stock further south? I don't think we can make a rational decision about on this bill based on this. So I don't want to discount it completely because I think there's some value in it. But I think from listening, I'm not on rules, thank God. But I sat in that committee meeting yesterday and I listened to the testimony. I believe we had at least 9 people speaking for and against the bill. And the one that moved me the most was a gentleman who has done this for a living. And I've come to the conclusion that if we implement this bill, we will see a further drop in the landings because there'll be even less fishermen out there doing this. As I said, I've listened to the testimony. I'm not voting for the bill. And Madam Speaker, I relinquish the rest of my remaining time to Representative Pittman.
And now we'll hear from Representative Michael Speciale from Craven County. Michael's been a strong proponent of the commercial fishing industry here in the coastal region. Let's hear what Michael has to say.
What purpose? What purpose does the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, arise?
To speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor, may debate the bill.
I want to thank Division of Marine Fisheries for being successful in some areas. That's by the evidence that we have. It's by the comments, by the sponsor of the bill. A few years ago, we had a bill, a game fish bill. Speckled trout, red drum, and I forget what the other one was. They wanted to turn them into game fish. We didn't let that happen. They said, oh, these things, these fish are depleted. You can't get them. What would have happened if we'd have turned it into game fish? Well, you wouldn't have been able to get it on your plate at the restaurant. It would have hurt a myriad of industries, fish houses. It would have put some of the commercial guys out of business because they wouldn't have been able to survive. They also wouldn't have been able to pay the fines if they did catch too much in there. Right now, we don't have a problem with it. We don't have a problem with the red drum, a speckled trout. Everybody's going out there and catching them. Go to Division of Marine Fisheries yourself and do your research. Let's look at the weak fish. Let's look at what's on here. This page here, the landings, came from Marine Fisheries. But let's look at weak fish. Wow, look at that decline. Went from, in 1997, 3.5 million pounds to 85 million pounds. Wow, what happened? Somebody in here tell me what happened. Can anybody tell me what happened? No. Nobody can tell me why. You know why? Because we don't have any marine biologists here. We don't have any people that are knowledgeable enough about fishing to be able to say that. But I can tell you one thing that contributed to it. Is that right now they can only bring in 100 pounds per trip. 100 pounds per trip. That certainly would account for a decrease in landings. And we're using landings, all of these charts, we're using landings. Why are we using landings? How come we're not talking about what the fish stocks are? How come it's landings? Because the landings say what they want it to say. If we have a decrease in landings, it makes it appear as if there's a decrease in the fish. It makes it appear as if there's a problem that's bigger than it really is. Again, if you go to Division of Marine Fisheries site And it talks about some of these very fish that he's got, that we've got on this bill. And it says there's no problems with the stocks. No verifiable problems, nothing that would cause any requirements for any immediate action. And yet, we have this bill. And every 2 years, we have a bill. And every 2 years, that bill is different. It's something else. It's this idea, or that idea, or the other idea. Everybody has an idea, and that's great, but the problem is there's nobody here that really knows what the problem is, and that's why DMF was put together. They were put together to fix the problem. And we can sit here and we can say that they haven't done anything. We can say all that stuff, but you know what? Fishing in North Carolina has increased. Sport fishing has increased. How is that possible if there's no fish? If we're having problems with the fish stock, how is that possible? There's been no biological surveys since the 90s. So how do we know how many fish are out there? We know what we hear. We hear anecdotal evidence. Hey, you know, when I was a kid, I used to catch them this big, and now I'm only catching them this big. Could be a million reasons for that. One, you forgot how to fish. Two, fish migrate. They don't stay in the same place all the time. This is a subject that, this is a bill that, in my opinion, should never have hit this floor. Because we don't have the knowledge here. That's why we hired the folks, the scientists that are on Division of Fisheries. And if there is a problem, if there actually is a problem, and I'm not saying there isn't, I'm not saying there is, but if there is a problem, is this bill the solution? And I submit to you that it is not. If there is a problem, I suggest that the problem is maybe something that DMF is not doing, and maybe we need to get with them and find out what it is we need to do. But again, we don't know what the stocks are. We don't know if there's a problem. We're just getting anecdotal evidence. Everybody's in a rush to want to do something because we hear these stories. Oh, man, these, you know, look, you're still getting the fish on the plate. You're still getting... The numbers of fishermen have decreased. You've heard that. It's a few decades ago, it went from 30,000 down to about 3,000 right now. That, of course, that is going to affect the landings. That is affecting. We're putting our people out of business. One of the first things that the bills that I had to tackle when I got up here was a fish bill that I was opposed to. And the comments heard were, commercial fishing industry is going to be dead within 10 years. That's what I heard by folks who had been here a lot longer than me. And my response to them is the same response as it is today. If that's the case, it's not our place to put the nail in the coffin. If the commercial fishing industry in North Carolina is going to see its demise over the next few years, then it needs to be a natural demise. And it doesn't need to be because we have hastened it by improper regulation, by passing bills that we know nothing about. I want you to think about how many bills in the past that we have had to correct something because we didn't take it full circle. There will be unintended consequences of this bill. There will be fishermen. If this bill passes, there will be fishermen out of business. There will be fish houses closing. It's going to affect the coast. That's exactly why you have all the coastal legislators saying, please, do not do this. If the folks that lived up in the mountains had an issue there and we weren't really that knowledgeable about it, and you asked us, please, don't support this, I think most of us would support you in that endeavor. And so I'm asking you, I know I have, and I'm asking you, support this state and do what's right. Support your legislators, coastal legislators, who know what's going on, who know what's going to happen if this bill passes. Here's what I suggest we do. I suggest we don't pass this bill. We wait. We set up a task force, whatever you want to call it, to get work with marine fisheries and find out where we're at on fish stacks and find out what we need to do, if there's things we need to do. Let me remind you that a couple of years ago, we passed a bill, okay, in the interest of wanting to do something about something that we know nothing about. The commercial fishermen volunteered to have their fishing license fees doubled. Do you remember that? Anybody that was here? They volunteered to do that. So we doubled their fees, and the requirement was, or the purpose of that additional money was to put observers on board, because they said, we have nothing to hide. The commercial fishermen have done everything that we've asked them to do. They have done everything that we have said, hey, will you do this voluntarily so we don't have to? They have done everything. Let's not beat them over the head and put them out of business on something that we know nothing about. I ask you to please vote this bill down. Let's put a task force together. Let's get with the speaker and push him into putting something together, a team that, to work with fisheries and come up to some solution, because we don't need to be doing this every 2 years. Thank you.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 58 having voted in the affirmative, 54 in the negative. House Bill 483 passes second reading. And is there objection to the third reading on the bill? Having been objected to, it remains on the calendar.
Okay, that concludes the debate on the second reading of this bill that occurred on Wednesday. And as you could hear, the vote passed the bill. And on Thursday, it went back for a third reading, and it passed there also. That means the bill now will go to the Senate. So if you have an interest in protecting the commercial fishing industry here on the coastal waters of North Carolina, then I urge you to please do your research. Look for the facts. Find out the facts. What's going on with that industry here in North Carolina? Is it deserving of putting restrictive measures out there that are going to virtually put all of the commercial fishermen out of business? It's also going to remove local fresh seafood from the tables in the restaurants. The seafood markets are going to be struggling to stay open. So we really need people to take an objective view of this, look for the facts, and if you think it warrants your attention, then please contact your senators, contact all the senators. Let them hear from you so that they'll know that they need to vote to block this bill when it comes through the Senate. They don't need to pass it. There needs to be more research done. They need to take their time. They need to listen to the experts, and they need to forget about the money interests that are trying to persuade votes in this bill. So I hope you enjoyed today's show. Hope you got some good information out of it. And hope you'll come back and join us again next week. But I want to tell you a little bit about our monthly meeting coming up. If you're a regular listener to CCTA Wake Up Call, you already know that CCTA holds a public meeting the third Tuesday of every month. It's free. It's open to the public. It's held in downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom. This month's meeting is going to be Miss Melody Clark with the Heritage Action Foundation. Now, you can go to our website, cctaxpayers.com, for more information. But Melody will be bringing to us some activism training on using social media and becoming politically involved in helping us to win the elections. So we want to elect good conservative candidates. We need to use all the tools that are at our disposal. And Melody's going to come and share that information with us. Once again, it's held in downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom. There's an elevator entrance on Craven Street and stairs entrance on Pollock Street. There's ample parking. It's across the street in the city parking lot after 5 o'clock. It's free and open to the public, so you'll be able to park there and walk across the street to the meeting. That will be Tuesday, July 16th at 7 p.m. in Stanley Hall Ballroom. Now, you do need tickets for this meeting. The tickets are free. The purpose of the tickets is they're going to feed you. So they need to know how many people are coming to be able to have the correct amount of food there for that. So you need to go to Eventbrite and get the tickets for this meeting, and the details are on our website, cctaxpayers.com. Go there and check it out.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in Newburgh, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in Newburgh, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake-Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.